Okay, welcome back. We are here trying to take care of too much in too little time. So we're ready to go, hour number two. And as we did last Monday, we're trying to make an issue of the amount of noise out there in the so-called alt media about what's really happening with these bioweapon genocidal injections. And there is so much misdirection out there, intentionally and otherwise, that on Monday we made an example, just grabbed an average program of one of these people and a guest and kind of took it apart, the first 4 or 5 minutes of it, to give you an idea of how much non-science is being pushed around the internet now and how easy it is for people to accept whatever they're told as being real. And that's just not always the case. And I hope you understood Monday that that was simply a lesson in how to listen and how to discern and how to try to judge what you're being told so you don't get taken down another cul-de-sac, of which there are an endless number of them. Lots and lots of people are presenting themselves or being presented as authorities, and they're not. They're just not. They're entertainers. They're egos. Whatever. And they're all over the internet. So add to that the simple fact that the damage that that kind of platform does to the masses is enormous. And you begin to understand why it's really important to once in a while step back and look and listen and try to analyze what you're being told. And how much hard science there is behind it. If we do anything on this program, and we've been doing it for 3 years now, we try to present things that are predicated on real science, real hard science, not hydras and hydrogels and graphene oxide and, my God, what's going on out there. There's no science to back it. Oh, there are some claims. And then those people who pull out the old saw, I have a patent. I have a patent on this. The patent doesn't prove anything. The patent is just an idea that has been registered. It's not proven science. Some of them are, but many of them are not. So that's not mentioned to you. Have you heard anyone explain that to you before? I doubt it. But that's a really important truth to always hang on. Two, when you're listening to people saying, I've got the patents, okay? There's a patent for just about everything filed, and that's no joke. The best patent story I ever heard was when Einstein was working in the patent office. I think it was in Bern, Switzerland. Anyway, it was in Switzerland, I believe. And no one can tell me that Einstein wasn't smart enough to collect a few interesting ideas that he reviewed as a patent officer. So we'll leave it at that. I don't want to get people angry, but it's human nature. It's what people do. All right, it's time to bring on the better-looking half of this team, the young lady from New England. What was your name again? Oh, that's right. I got it. Erica. I always think Eric. I don't know why, but...
I hope not.
All right. We're going to get the orchestra for Erica here. I just hired them. Welcome aboard.
Dinner bells.
Yes. Here, you want to hear that again? All right. Or... And most of you know what that is. That's NBC. Okay.
That's right.
Now, this whole thing about misinformation, disinformation, either intentional or through sheer stupidity, ego, narcissistic, maniacal arrogance, whatever. It's just a matter of people believing what they're told. And we don't like that. We want people to question things and evaluate things and do their own thinking. Whatever we tell you here, we don't want you necessarily to believe it. We hope you do, because it is researched, and we try to present the science behind these things to make them credible, logical, and pragmatic. But so many of these programs are just egocentric narcissists green screening their way into what they think is celebrity. They want to be a star. We got a lot of graphene stories out here now, some whoppers I want to start with, then we're going to go to our special guest in just a few minutes. So these whoppers, okay, thanks, I got them here. Wait a minute, let me look. Okay. Now, is this what you read to me earlier? This is exactly it?
Yeah, that you should have three.
All right, one, two, three, all right, here. Here, this has to do with the great graphene hoax, all right? Dangerous story here. It says, graphene in anesthetic syringes and how to avoid it. Show this video to your dentist. I'm really not comfortable with any kind of injections. Now, this person actually believes that anesthetic injections Novocaine, lidocaine, whatever, are now laced with graphene. They're poisoning us with graphene in anesthetic injections. Did I get that right? I think I did.
Yeah. This is the latest. I think this is being promulgated by La Quinta Columna.
Yeah.
So that's it's picking up traction. Okay, so
yeah,
whatever ailment
enough,
people are.
Remember.
Whatever ailment these people who are being shedded on are suffering from, they are now ascribing it to graphene. Graphene in food, graphene in the air, graphene in the water, graphene in coming off of the vaxxed, you name it.
Right.
And their proof is anything that's magnetic now is graphene.
Anything that's magnetic
anything.
Is automatically graphene. Okay? And we know, and Erica mentioned this Monday, we've all seen the videos of somebody with a magnet on the other side of a surface, and on the top side there'll be what they say are graphene particles, black things. No, those are just little iron filings. Graphene in and of itself does not react to a magnet like that. It doesn't.
That's correct.
That's
correct.
What happened. Here's another one. All right. There's a picture of some woman's cheek here. I'm not sure what's going on, but she says, this is what just happened to me for the fourth time going to the dentist and injecting me with the graphene anesthetic. This was 3.5 weeks ago, and it takes months to detox out. And it's so painful. Now, I'm not saying that this person doesn't have pain, but I'm saying, what dentist is going to start injecting graphene with their lidocaine or whatever they're injecting to numb people's teeth? It doesn't happen. This is insane. So, okay. Another little comment to this one. Never in my life will I go again to the dentist. My teeth were never bad to begin with. I've realized they destroy your mouth, causing you to come back again and again and again. And a comment to that. 2 weeks ago, I received a Novocaine injection by my dentist. It never dawned on me that graphene would be in the injection. Boy, am I angry and scared. I will need to check this out. Okay. So, dear friends, unless they have just added it in the last few weeks, graphene is not in Novocaine or any other local anesthetic used in dental offices. Chances are, this woman was breathed upon by the dentist, by the dental assistant, for maybe an hour, and loaded up with spike. And chances are, if she was, she had a reaction to it. Not a big surprise, and you regular listeners know all about it. So there you go. But it's all graphene now, friends, graphene. No, it's not.
No, it's not. And as I said the other night, it's keeping people from understanding the toxic biology and how it's doing its damage. A lot of this damage that people are complaining about, these neurological symptoms, are directly related to depletion of certain B vitamins, niacin being one of them. But the other one that's coming up quite frequently is thiamine and B12. And all three of those B vitamins are absolutely critical for normal neurological functioning. And when you don't have them, and they're very easily depleted, any type of stress or acute illness or challenge, you will lose those vitamins very quickly. They need to be replenished on a daily basis. Processed food is notorious for not having really any and for robbing your body of these nutrients in order to metabolize these food-like substances that people call food. Nobody that I've seen who is complaining of shedding symptoms is understanding the importance of getting these B vitamins. They love their chlorine dioxide solution. And I will mention that chlorine will destroy thiamine. So you want to be cognizant of that if you're on this CDS protocol and you're drinking that every hour as it's being promoted. But again, these B vitamins are utterly indispensable for supporting the metabolism that is required to withstand these challenges, to be able to detox properly. So ignore that at your own peril.
Right. I would ask all of you out there, and most of you, look at many of these people in the alt media who are trying to tell you what you should think and how you should act and how you should detox and all that. How many of them have told you anything about B vitamin deficiency, like you just heard? I'll bet none, zero. Take a good B vitamin complex every day with your regular multiple vitamin and minerals.
Especially if you're having these neurological symptoms, like the numbness and tingling. I mean, that can be not microclotting, but again, when you're deficient in these vitamins, your neurology will degenerate. And B12 is known to be depleted. We heard that video with that Dr. Heather Gessling about a week or so ago from the Wellness Clinic, describing
company.
A patient who was the Wellness Company, wow. Sorry. The patient was completely depleted, devoid of B12. That's a big deal. You cannot manufacture red blood cells. You can't methylate properly, which has much to do with maintaining your DNA, expression of your DNA. Big deal.
All right. Well done. Okay. As all of you know, there are reports, endless numbers of people are dying. They were wounded, injured early on by the vax, the bioweapon, the genocide, and they're beginning to fade. One of the first things I ever asked Erica when I first met her 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I said, are any of these people getting better? We were talking about the vax injured, and she said, not that I've heard. And that is generally the way it is today. Nothing has changed. These people are not getting better. Those who have tinnitus, for example, we know now there's new data out that tinnitus sufferers who never get relief or rarely are literally having their brain cells destroyed by the constant noise. It's not so much a frequency issue as it is it wears and tears on the brain itself. And this is a fact. So these people who have been wounded, whether they have now turbo cancers or whatever, they're dying, and we're not getting accurate numbers. I don't even know how close the numbers are. It used to be that we could take the VAERS numbers and multiply them by 100, and we might be close. I would suggest that the VAERS fatality numbers are probably in a similar basket. What do you think?
Yeah, I just saw a report today where it said there may be a total of about 1 billion people dead on the planet.
Yes.
So far from these vaccines?
I ran the story, and I would only suggest, I think I mentioned this, if in America And if I'm right, and I'm speaking for myself here, I believe that in the 2 years and 3 months, 4 months since they began injecting people with these Department of Defense Pentagon bioweapon genocide injections, I think we've lost 10% of the population here. I think we've lost.
Yeah, I have no problem believing that. Because I mean, personally, I can think of at least two that are dead directly related to the vax.
So if we lose one out of 10, you'll say, well, no, wait a minute. That's 35 million people. People are going to notice that. Not if it's done slowly, incrementally over a period of 2 years and 4 months. They're not going to notice.
Right.
They might notice a little bit of lighter traffic here and there, but no. Now, that'll extrapolate when I reiterate what Erica just said, that the story, and I ran it the other day, somebody's projecting that maybe 1 billion people have already been killed by these shots. I won't dismiss that either, because I think it's possible. And I'll take my original example. If the world lost 1 out of 8 people over 2.5 years, or thereabout, how many would notice, really? Now, I have a friend in the Philippines, and I got some pictures of a cemetery there. And that cemetery at least has doubled in size in the last 2 years. Just that one. So have 1 billion people been killed up to this point? I would say that is on the table, if not 1 billion, close to it. And we'll never know, because they have endless numbers of causes of death that they can put on the death certificate now, because this thing is so diabolically diverse and sophisticated in how it is anti-life. It kills and kills so many different ways. So maybe it is 1 billion. I'm sure it's 10% in the U.S. That's me, just me talking. You don't have to believe, whatever. I just think that that's the progress they've made. They're not playing games here. They're killing people, okay? And this is not something you can go home and detox from with EDTA or what the other, what's the other one?
Oh, let's see, MMS.
MMS, that's it. Yeah. So, pine needle tea, whatever. You don't detox this. It's genetic changes in the body, and this spike protein is diabolically evil. I still personally think that there's a chance that there were some other intelligences involved with putting this thing together. Not that we couldn't. It's just that the way it works and the numbers of ways that it rolls out and kills people is astonishing to me. Okay. Now, to help us get an idea of what it looks like halfway around the world, our friend and colleague Bernard Grover is standing by. He lives in Indonesia. A brilliant writer, was the first man to really expose the QAnon hoax. And he was right on it. He's got a column, the spot on the left-hand side of the homepage. Bernard, are you there? Can you hear us all right? Hello, Bernard. I'm not hearing him. All right. Let me see. Todd, let me know if you got the information. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Are you there, Bernard?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
I hear you.
Oh, all right. Finally.
All
Erica,
right.
Great pleasure to be able to talk to you as well.
Likewise, Bernard.
Bernard, you sound like a teenager.
My B vitamins, that's what it is.
It's the, you see, either that or the AI, Bernard. All right.
That could be it, yeah. I am using an AI to conduct most of my interviews now.
Hey, welcome back. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be talking to both of you.
Right. Thank you. So, you've been listening to us prattling on about this. Does it make sense to you in your world as you see things living over there? How is it over there?
It's a mixed bag, Jeff. I think we may have partially dodged a bullet, because originally we were mandated to take the Sinovac, which was a Chinese product.
Right.
And I would not be surprised if China was selling saline solution as a vaccine, nor would I be surprised that Indonesia was buying saline and labeling it as a vaccine to save money.
Got it. Yeah.
There was also, and I'm personally aware of various efforts around Southeast Asia, particularly to replace the contents of the vials with vitamin C and vitamin D3, as well as saline. People who did not trust these vaccines at all and were not going to take them, but had to get the certificates in order right. to be able to go about their business. So it's difficult to say what's going on. What I do know for certain is that in January of 2022, the government mandated a third jab using either Pfizer or Moderna. And they approved it for children under five. And within months, we had many, many. It's difficult to know because the records are not publicly available. But in the thousands, children with acute unknown hepatitis and acute kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. what Indonesia did at that time was they started buying up all the available supply of a drug called, I want to make sure I get this right, timepizole, which is an antidote for ethylene glycol and polyethylene glycol poisoning, which is one of the ingredients of Pfizer and Moderna products.
PEG, yes. And
yeah.
I wonder if that is somehow effective against LNPs as well, liquid nanoparticles.
It might be. Yeah, it might be.
So was this common knowledge and talked about by the government, we're buying up all this to try to help our people kind of a thing?
Yeah, well, this was in the news because the illnesses with the children were blamed directly on probably methanol. They blamed a cough syrup, a particular brand of cough syrup that's very popular here. Uh-huh. And they started buying up this, I'm going to say this wrong again, famipizole from Japan, from Korea, from Singapore, from Australia to treat all these children, many of whom died anyway. This was nasty stuff. But I think they blamed it on methanol, trying to keep everything away from linking it to any of the so-called vaccines.
When they rolled out with the Pfizer instead of the Sinovac, were there immediate responses, and did the media cover that?
They covered the rollout because the government specifically mandated, okay, everybody's had two doses of Sinovac. Now we want you to do a booster with either Pfizer or Moderna. I guess at that point they'd made the appropriate financial arrangements with the appropriate personnel to get those products.
No money down and no interest for a 10-year supply. I can see it now. All right.
Well, in certain pockets getting a lot fatter than they need to be.
Right.
I mean, that's a common issue across Asia. But what we see, especially in Australia, because now Australia is more westernized, obviously, than Asia, and Australia started with the Pfizer and Moderna products, and I think J&J as well. And they've had many, many issues.
Oh, they've been brutalized over there. Brutalized.
Oh, yeah, horribly. Yeah. And most of it in Queensland, New South Wales, and Victoria, which is down the east coast. The most heavily populated parts of the country. What's interesting to note is Tasmania had the least uptake of the entire country, and they've had the least health problems.
Yeah, it's That's what we expect.
And the reports I'm getting are severe cases of shingles, heart problems, and of course the heart problems are classified as ischemia and what else? The
myocarditis.
Myocarditis and pericarditis.
You got it.
But they're classified all over the place to kind of spread the numbers out. Mm-hmm.
And this and came as after. As it, excuse me, Bernard. This came after. Yeah. I want to be sure I got the chronology right. This came after the rollout of Pfizer in place of the Sinovac. That's when things began to talk about heart issues and other. These are classic issues from all of our reporting here that can be directly related to the Pfizer, primarily the Pfizer shots.
Well, it's all chronologically related. So we could call that coincidental, but it stretches credulity to say that. Right. The other thing is that Southeast Asia provides kind of a control group where Australia began having problems almost immediately after the vaccines were rolled out.
Right.
Whereas in Indonesia, our problems were delayed about a year until roughly January of last year, when specifically the Pfizer and Moderna products were introduced. So that kind of gives us an idea that, you know, that's two big dots that can be connected, I think, both the chronological relationship and the fact that in Asia, the problem began appearing about a year after Australia when those two particular products were introduced here. The other thing I've noticed, and this is strictly personal experience, but in the previous 13 years that I'd lived here, I knew one person that had had a heart attack. In the last 2 years, I know personally 7 people who have had strokes and 12 people who have had heart attacks or heart-related issues, and a couple of them, several of them have died. All of them, without exception, had received the Pfizer and Moderna products. Now, again, that's strictly personal experience. There's no science behind that. But to me, that is a third dot now that I can connect with the other two. So there seems to be several lines of evidence going here that all point to one specific thing, and that is the Pfizer and Moderna products.
Very well said. Are you seeing any publications talking about the declining birth rates in Indonesia?
In Indonesia, we haven't had that issue come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I've been watching for. It's a little difficult because a lot of the health-related statistics, the last firm numbers were 2020,
mm-hmm.
So we have 2 years now that there's no data. There's all estimates, mm-hmm. and they're all from the UN or WHO, and I don't trust them as far as I can spit. But
no, you shouldn't. We're already in a declining birth graph. It's been going on for actually decades.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on since the late 70s here in this country. It's just constantly on decline. And we're not getting any relief from that. 75% of women, I believe, is the round number who have mm-hmm. been rejected during pregnancies, lost their babies dead.
Yep.
That I don't know if that's worldwide, but I do think that the Pfizer-Moderna issue has to be looked at very carefully. If you do look at the Deagle numbers, Indonesia doesn't fare poorly. They don't suffer a big hit like Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the U.S., and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably okay there. However, one would have to go back and ask how many people in Indonesia took the Pfizer or Moderna. That's the big issue. It just needs
well,
to be
the,
one,
and it's
apparently.
Not just the issue of whether they took it. It's the fact that we really don't know for sure if people actually receive those products, even though they may have been labeled as such.
Right. Good point.
There, as I've mentioned, you know, there's a major effort across the, pretty much all of Southeast Asia with various groups extracting the real contents and putting in things like vitamin solutions or saline simply because they didn't trust it and they weren't going to allow that to affect as many people as they could save.
Who would be doing this kind of a switch? Doctors? Would they take a vial and empty it out and replace it with something that wouldn't be hazardous to health? Or is it
well,
a bigger scale operation?
What I know about here was that, first of all, Indonesia made a deal with China that they would assemble the products from raw materials here.
Really?
And there could have been a switch anywhere in that supply chain. The other part of it were there were large groups of volunteers to help distribute and administer the products. And in that supply chain, I know for sure people were dumping the stuff down the drain and refilling it with vitamin solutions.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Briefly, the government, did they mandate everybody take a shot? How did it go down in Indonesia?
Yeah, it was mandated here. Despite the fact that the Constitution, Article 28G, forbids anybody from forcing medical procedures on anyone, they nobody complained. I mean, people just don't sue the government here because it's pointless. It's a futile exercise.
Right. Right.
But that's why I think so many of the efforts here were focused on replacing the products and making everything look like it was official.
Do you think the government looked the other way and winked at some of this?
I imagine they had to. There, for instance, every one of the distribution centers was guarded by national police, which is essentially military. So all of this was taking place under their noses, and I can't imagine that they saw nothing. I can't say for sure because I don't know anybody personally that could tell me.
I understand. We get the overall gist of what you're noticing. Erica, anything you want to ask here?
In terms of the people who are getting injured now, does Indonesia have the capacity to help these people? I mean, what's becoming of them?
As I said, maybe a third of the people I know have died. The others are recovering, but they have ongoing heart issues. With the strokes, of course, there's the cognitive issues as well as mobility.
That's a big burden.
Yeah.
A big burden. And, so do the families typically take care of people in those situations, or will the medical system accommodate them?
There is a national insurance called BPJS, BPJS, and that, depending on what level you buy in, will get you anywhere from a dormitory with occasional visits all the way up to double occupancy rooms with fairly good quality care. Most people cannot afford anything above, you know, six beds to a ward.
So in all the people you've known, Bernard, that have died of strokes, clots, heart attacks, etc., those are classic profiles of Pfizer Moderna. And I'm wondering how these people, you say some of them are recovering. How are they recovering? Can you tell me any more about that? That's the big question. How do you get over this once you've been injected with it?
Well, as far as their treatment goes, it's primarily the immediate treatment for stroke is urokinase, and then there's a blood thinner regimen that goes on past that. With the heart issues, there are a number of drugs for regulating heart rhythms.
Right. Right. We've heard about these things, too. The other side of that heart issue, though, is everyone who allegedly took a Pfizer, and we'll throw Moderna in there as well, especially Pfizer, though, everyone who took at least one injection does have or pericarditis. They're in trouble, and their life expectancy is, on average, I believe it was 5 years. Five years, Erica? Six? Something like
that? Yeah, 5 years, yep.
Wow.
And they would be in heart failure if they made it to 5 years.
Right.
Wow.
So there you go. It is said that every single person who has taken a Pfizer injection has either subclinical or clinical myo or pericarditis, and they're in trouble. Everyone.
Man.
If they got a real viable injection. So I can't prove that. It is largely anecdotal, but it has been written quite extensively about by a number of people. So there we go. Okay. Go on.
Well, I was just going to say, it's not just the heart issues. A good example is another friend of mine who lives in Costa Rica now. He's one of these people that is absolutely bought into the whole thing. And he crowed and crowed about how he'd gotten two Modernas and then boosted with Pfizer, berated me for even thinking that there could be something wrong. And just recently, he ended up with some pretty bad prostate problems and, epididymitis? Is that right? Epididymis? Epididymis?
There are lots of reproductive issues, males and females, because these shots clearly have an anti-fertility agenda. Let's leave it at that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And that's I'm trying to keep an eye on the birth rates here. There has been an ongoing drop over the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. Nothing scary, but because everything here, all the drinks come in these plastic cups and plastic bottles. So BPA and is it BPA? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is in everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's unfortunate, but it's so common. And a lot of it ends up floating in the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. And Indonesia is the worst violator of that.
Mm. Well, all right, Eric, anything else you want to get in here? We're going to say good night and thanks to Bernard very much. Give us a hand with this.
Yeah, are you seeing an increase in cancer? Because that's the other thing that's strongly associated with these injections here. The uptick in cancer cases is through the roof right now.
Ferocious cancer,
that's
too, as you know.
Great question. Yeah. I'm glad you asked because, yes, there is... apparently an increase in cancer cases. Again, I don't have any solid statistics on it, but not far from where I live is the National Heart Institute and the National Cancer Institute, and both of them are doing land office business.
Business.
And, other than that, I mean, that's strictly anecdotal, but, I have heard of a lot of people being diagnosed with various kinds of cancers, most of them having to do with skin. which is unusual here because people generally don't get melanomas or skin carcinomas because obviously they have more skin pigment than I ever will. But
Well, the other side of the that issue is everyone who takes the shots, the Pfizer, Moderna especially, is going to end up with a compromised, if not destroyed, immune system. They won't have the normal defenses against cancers. That's why when you mentioned early on, we'll call it herpes just for fun, shingles if you want, whatever. You got shingles all over the place, and that is a sign of a weakened immune system. That stuff is easily spread and just breaks out. So these people have VAIDS, V-A-I-D-S. They have vaccine-induced AIDS, and it's quite a tragedy. So all in all, if you were to look at Indonesia and the U.S., there is a viable overlay between what's going on in both places. It tends to lock up. You may not have the volume because the Sinovac, the first two shots, may have prevented a lot of people from getting sick early on. I don't know. But when they introduced the Pfizer Moderna, things seem to have changed. At least that's what I heard.
Yeah, it all seems to time out right about January of last year when they introduced both of those. Mm. And one thing I wanted to mention, too, is that a lot of people here take quinine tablets on a fairly regular basis for parasites. Mm-hmm. And it could be, because quinine is one of the major ingredients of HCQ, that it could be that might be having some effect on reducing numbers compared to other countries.
I wouldn't write that off. I think you're onto something there. I didn't know that, and that's certainly a possibility, if not probability. If they're taking a format of HCQ routinely or semi-routinely, it certainly would give, seemingly give them some kind of protection. Maybe
well, it's something
against the spike,
I need to look
maybe
into.
Maybe against the mRNA.
It could be. It's something I need to look into further, but that's something that I've been thinking about for some time now.
Very good. Bernard, we only have a couple minutes left, so thank you very much for being here, and that was very helpful and enlightening. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. And Erica, thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good evening. Or
you
day.
Too.
Good
be
night.
Well, Bernard. Be safe.
You too. Thank you, Jeff.
All righty. Superb journalist. Very good. Okay, that helped. We have parallels, especially since they began with the Pfizer Moderna. That's all it
no
all
coincidence.
No.
Yeah.
And you know damn well that the Chinese Sinovac, which they gave to their own people, would not, logic would tell you, it would not be constructed with the same pathogenicity that the Pfizer Moderna shots are put together with.
Well, I believe the Sinovac was just a killed version of the whole virus.
It was the old school. The
right.
Old school. Yeah, it wasn't even attenuated. It was dead. So,
yeah.
Well, there we go. All right. Well, that's very helpful. So the world is suffering all around the world. And the Chinese did protect their people with that first round, second round, or whatever, however many rounds they gave them. And they didn't look at Russia the same thing. People aren't dying there.
I think that's an assumption, whether or not that Sinovac was protective because, you know, it's a coronavirus.
I don't mean protective in that sense. Protective in the sense that it was a different formulation. It wasn't as aggressive as the Pfizer Moderna. It was a dead virus.
Well, all I wanted to say was that if it caused the person to generate antibodies, the antibodies, as has been demonstrated for 20 years now, in the case of coronaviruses, are not protective. They only serve to enhance a future infection.
Right.
And there may be complications if somebody got the traditional vaccine or even the virus itself and then got vaccinated with one of these mRNA shots. That could be part of the problem of why they're so lethal in some cases.
Well, that's what I was alluding to when I said protect. They didn't give him the mRNA. They gave him their own version.
Right.
It seems to have been less dangerous, less disastrous.
All right, at least initially.
At least initially. We have a couple of minutes left here. Anything in the reader list we want to do that's particularly pertinent?
Pick something. I can't really tell which ones we've done yet or already.
Okay. We have psychiatrist needed, relationship strife. There's an angle we might want to look at. See those two in the middle?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead. Start with that. Let's do
that. Okay. Someone says, my husband and I are separated. He got triple vaxxed. I am a pure blood. He doesn't understand anything about shedding. All body fluids, even skin contact, could nuke me. He thinks I'm crazy, but that sealed the deal for me. I am petrified. It'll get in me. Comments?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Someone says, I can relate. My ex-fiancé, triple boosted, while me being unjabbed, we cannot even go out on dates anymore unless with distance and preferably outdoors, like picnics. It's sad, as we still have feelings for each other, but I just literally get sick.
Well, there you go. Here's another one. We may have done this. Shingles from Vax. Did we do that?
I don't think so. No.
All right. Let me see if we can roll through this. Hi, everyone. Has anyone noticed that their immunity has been lowered since contracting shingles? I had shingles this time last year, and it lasted for a month. I've been very lucky not to have contracted it since, but I seem to have caught every cold and every flu going around. I can't get through a month without getting sick. I'm wondering if anyone has experienced the same. And the first response, yep, thought it was just me. Second one, yep, and also wondering if something caused a compromise to my immune system in the last year, thus causing the shingles virus to release itself into my nerve system. Due to the rules on this site, I can't actually mention what I think might have caused that compromise. Lots of people coming down with shingles lately, and many younger than I am. Go ahead.
Someone says, I understand. And another one says, there is actually a rise in shingles outbreak in the last year. Another one says, I can read between your lines, and I do agree. Another one, yes, definitely. Next one, I am going to see a naturopath doctor today. I will address this with him. I am early into my outbreak, and I cannot take the meds that the doctor has ordered for nerve pain, so he promises to help me. Are you all taking L-lysine? And let's see, another one says, yep, 10 days after 5 weeks of shingles, I got COVID, despite my vax and boosters.
Shut my mouth. Uh-huh.
My hubby didn't catch COVID from me, which tells me the most logical reason I got COVID after shingles was due to a weak immune system.
Well, they've got the pieces, right? They're not quite put together right, but they've got the idea. Weakened immune system, yes. Despite the vax and boosters, no, because of the vax and boosters. My hubby didn't catch the virus from me, which tells me the most logical reason I got COVID after shingles was due to my weakening immune system. So the whole thing is predicated on the immune system being ravaged by these horrible shots, destroyed. It was just part of the way they work.
Yeah, the number of people coming down with shingles now, young people, it's staggering, and they don't get over it very quickly. Despite, you know, taking antivirals, acyclovir, what's the other one, Valtrex, they're not getting over it. And some of the pictures that they post are really, it looks hideously painful.
Well, and thank you for sending those. They're always cheerful.
they're really
frightful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised acyclovir doesn't seem to be working against shingles at all. We're getting people recommending it, but nobody's saying, hey, it really helped. And I just,
no, they're taking it, and it doesn't seem to do much either in the way of pain or curtailing the length of the infection, or the outbreak, I should say.
These young people getting it, that is really awful. And it does clearly suggest that their immunocompetence is no longer what it was. They're in trouble.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, listen, everyone, I hope that was somewhat helpful. Things in Indonesia were relatively okay. But then after they switched to the Pfizer Moderna, the children began to go down. And now you heard he's got a lot of people he knows that they're gone. Gone. Okay. Well, our thanks again to Bernard Grover for coming on with that update. And any of you have any other information you think we should know, by all means, let me know, and I'll share it, and we'll see what we can do with it. Okay, my friend, you take care. Thank you. Very good.
Okay.
As always.
Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay, now what we're going to do next hour is my regular guest is not able to show, so I'm going to rerun, and I don't want you to miss this. David Oates and I did the original program, the first program, which certainly points to the inarguable fact that certain AI operations are sentient. I want you to take a close listen to the next hour. It's very important. It is posted under David's name on the left-hand side of the homepage, but listen again. It is a stunner. And that's where we are. Stand by, and we'll be right back with that.